Pleasure of introducing basically the theme for the next three Sundays. And it is quite exciting. Well, it is very exciting, I think. All inspired by Joshua 4. And basically, I'm going to give you a quick snapshot of the story. Basically, the River Jordan was God-led Joshua and the whole nation to cross the Jordan, which is pretty amazing. And as they've passed over, God then instructs Joshua to send kind of the leaders of these tribes are split into 12 different tribes. And he instructed Joshua, go and get the leaders of the tribe to go and pick up stones from the middle of the Jordan and bring them over to a place called Gilgal, which means circle of stones. And we're just going to put these stones down. And we're going to build an altar for God. And basically, God instructed Joshua and he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know, Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over. As the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty and that you may fear the Lord your God forever. And I love this. I love the fact that they took these stones and they made this altar. And it has this question of what do these stones mean? And this storytelling around it. So I can imagine that people would almost sit around these stones, maybe have a fire going, have a drink, and tell stories of what God had done in their lives and for their nation and for the history. And it would be passed through from generation to generation. And that's so inspiring. So we were thinking about Linden as a church, as a community. And there's this incredible story that Linden has stretching back way, way back to right now and off into the future. And one of the exciting things we feel at the moment in Linden is it's just so incredible that we've seen new faces come through the door. There's, you know, obviously birth, new children coming into the community, which is so exciting. And there's this sense of we want to share what Linden is. We want to tell the story of Linden, of what God has done, the goodness of God, and how God has led us to this point. And there's reasons, I think, for that. When we tell a story, when we share who we are, what God has done, the goodness of God, it builds faith. It's great to hear a good story, isn't it? And you think, well, that's amazing. That's exciting. I want to get involved in that. That's fantastic. It basically, we tell a story and it inspires us. It gives us the bigger picture of the arc of the story that we're all a part of in this community. And it inspires us to move forward. We look at the past, what God has done, the goodness, some of the stories, some of the key little highlights. And it inspires us to move forward. And the third thing, it invites us. It invites us into this journey, into this story. And we really feel at the moment that God is inviting us to go deep with God, but also together collectively in our relationships to go deeper. And as you'll hear, we've been putting things in place. So over the next three Sundays, just as I draw this before we have some worship and Chris is going to kick us off in a bit, what we want to do is tell, obviously, like I was saying, we're telling the story of Linda. And we're going to hear from people who have been in this beautiful journey from the very start. So that'll be mainly today. And then next Sunday, we're going to be looking at the values. What's the DNA of Linden? What's like the core threads that are in this beautiful community? And we're going to be exploring that. And then on the third Sunday, we'll talk about what we feel God is saying to us at the moment and where we feel God is leading us. So I'm quite excited. I loved, like, storytelling is fantastic. I feel that there's something here that God is stirring us and inspiring us and inviting us into, which is fantastic. And just to represent all that, we've got some stones. And just today, as we go through these three Sundays, we're going to be placing stones on our amazing table altar thing. That on the third, I don't know why you're laughing. That is amazing. There's a pen. There's one stone to start us off. And always near me, Buck. Fantastic. But what we're going to do is inviting you, when you've shared, is to come up and place a stone on here. And then on the third Sunday, hopefully there'll be a ton of stones and Nigel's going to craft his amazing craft and we'll take a picture because obviously it can't stay there, like the stones in Gilgal. So that's what's going to happen in the next three Sundays. So we're excited and Chris is going to kick us off with, some stories today from people who've been here for a long time, which is very inspiring.
So this is a timeline. Okay. This is the past, back in the past here. And this is heading towards now, where Chris is. Chris is now. Steve is just way back. And a disclaimer that in the time that I have, I cannot possibly do justice to the whole of the Linden story. I will leave people out. There'll be whole swathes of things I won't mention. So, sorry about that. But we'll do some highlights of this story and this journey. So the year is the year that Yuri Gagarin was the first human in space. The farthing stopped being legal tender in the UK. Who can remember the farthing? The Beatles, an unknown Liverpudlian band, played their first gig at the Cavern Club. JFK, president, advised all American families to build bomb shelters. And John and Megan Sampson were on a thing called a holiday conference. Holiday conferences were things whereby Christians got together from a particular denomination, although they wouldn't like be called that, but it was really a denomination, a brethren denomination, and we went on holiday together, sometimes 100, 150 of us, and we would do some holiday things, but we'd have Bible teaching every morning and every evening. Amen. Amen. We knew how to party in those days. Well, they were on a holiday conference, and John and a friend, David Griffiths. Now, for those of you who can remember Swansea Market, in the corner, the top corner of Swansea Market, there used to be a cafe. It was there for years and years and years. It's not there anymore. Well, David Griffiths used to run that cafe. And he went to a gospel hall in Forest Park called Armine Road Gospel Hall. Very straight-laced, very down the line. But he was on the holiday conference and he and John spoke and they decided in this year of 1961, let's start a Sunday school children's work in West Cross. All right. So they decided That was the starting point. So if you're talking about the beginning of Lyndon, well, this is about as far back as we, and Megan's the expert on all these things. We sat down and I even recorded her so that she can't say she didn't say it. But 1961. So, Sunday school. They didn't have a building to meet in, so they rented Males Primary School. And that's what it became, a Sunday school. They needed teachers, and there were, there were a couple of teachers. There were a brother and sister called Jeff and Rosemary Herbert. And they decided to get their little brother involved. Here he is. Richard, how old were you when you became a Sunday school teacher in the Males Primary School Sunday School?
1965, I was 16.
He was 16 in 1965, and he was a Sunday school teacher. And those were the origins. Lots of people came. Was it well attended, Rich?
Yeah, up to 100.
Up to 100 in Males School in the primary school. Now, John Sampson, most of us will remember John and hold him dear in our hearts. Some who've come to the church more recently won't remember. John passed away almost 2 years ago, almost, and we miss him. But he was an inspiration in terms of the origins of this church. He had already been in around about in Mumbles doing stuff. He'd organized, get this, a drop-in at Castleton Chapel. Now, it's next door to Marks and Spencer's now. Well, it always was, but Marks and Spencer's wasn't there then. But that's where it is. And there was it was behind the ordinary sort of hall that the church met in, and it was a back room. And John said, let's get some youngsters in, mods, rockers, winkle pickers, the whole lot back in the day. But some of the older people in the church didn't like it, because on a Sunday morning when they met to break bread and worship together, smell of smoke. So John got into trouble. That's a phrase that runs through his life, actually. John got into trouble. And so the Sunday school was another expression of this heart that John had. And he had a heart to reach people so that people would hear and understand that there was a God who loved them. And that was a passion that he had. So in terms of where our origins are, that was part and parcel of it. And reaching people, outreach, a clear vision to reach people. Well, growth came. There were over 100. And the next stage on the journey, if you like, is they started a gospel service. Now, growing up in a brethren church, a gospel service was really important, wasn't it? Preaching the word so that other people could hear. So, well, Male School wasn't the right place, so they hired West Cross Community Centre, still there, just down the road, a couple of rooms on a Sunday night. And, it became a bit of a gathering place. People from the area came to that. And some of you will know some of these names, others won't. But Elsie and Reg Rowlands. Elsie is still alive. She was here a couple of years ago. She's 101 now. She goes to City Temple, to the Elam Church now. And Elsie was part of that, and her husband, Reg. And I always remember when John went to visit them, they had a very badly restricted, disabled son who he had so many problems, didn't he, and physically. He just laid on the settee. I'm not sure of all the conditions, but he was. And when he went to see Reg, Reg said, oh, God, eh? God. Tell me about this boy. Adrian, his name was, wasn't it? Tell me. What's the answer to this? And John just said, I don't know. I have no answer. He didn't give him platitudes. And that was John, building relationships with people. Irene and George Ford, their son Gareth is the chair of the governors up at Whitestone School now. He just lives around the corner, their son. I think Irene is still alive, well in her 90s now. And there were people who started to come from, I don't know if you've heard of this place, Llanelli. From those early days, people from Llanelli travelled. And there are some still doing it. And people like Anne Evans and Roland and Faith and Paul Chillington came across. People from the Bible College started to come, students, and met in West Cross Community Centre on a Sunday evening because I think they sensed something fresh. They sensed something, oh, gosh, this is a bit different. It's not more of the same. And so people travelled as well as people from the local area came. Early in the 70s, there was a seminal moment when they began to meet on a Sunday morning. Ooh, that was crossing a line, that was. And now Linden became a church. The word went out. John Sampson was a persona non grata. That means he wasn't welcome to preach in any gospel halls again because he had broken fellowship and he'd started something independent. Well, John got into trouble, yeah. But the feel I have in talking to Richard and to talking to Megan and to others is that it felt like that Wesleyan hymn, "My chains fell off. My heart was free." And there was freedom. Colin and Pam joined in. They'd been kicked out of another gospel hall for non-attending. They hadn't turned up at the gospel hall breaking a bread meeting for I don't know how many months or weeks or whatever, but that was considered not acceptable. So they were asked to leave. Something that they weren't attending. I don't know, but they were asked to, they weren't going anyway, but they, so anyway, John, do you know what I mean? Please leave. You're not attending, so leave. So John said, "Reprobates? Yeah, come on, come on. we'll get them involved." And there was, what they experienced was freedom. Now this, I think, is a key word in our story. Freedom. Such an important word. No hats required. The ladies, if you went to a brethren church, you were required to wear a hat. A beret, at least. A scarf, a big floppy hat, something. Cover your head. Because it's said in the Bible that women must not teach or speak or pray without a head covering. But they weren't allowed to say anything anyway. So I'm not really sure what the thinking was. But no hats. And you know, women could be involved. Dodgy, I know. Slippery slope. Women could be involved. And women could pray out loud, could read, could speak, could be part of the church in whatever way they and the church recognized. Isn't it amazing? I read yesterday that a church in the States, Rick Warren's church. Rick Warren was a big heavy hitter in the States, Bible teacher, wrote a very famous book, Purpose-Driven Life. He retired a year or two ago and handed the church on. It's called Saddleback, and they have just been asked to leave the Southern Baptist Union because they've done something despicable. They've recognized a woman as a pastor in the church. How many years ago is this? And where are we now? But freedom for women to play an equal and active part of the church, a big part of always from the early days, to be involved in the bigger picture of what God was doing. Richard, you were involved in all sorts of things, weren't you? Tell us a bit about one or two of them.
Well, there was we had formed a group called Swansea for Christ, which had a series of missions, including David Watson. And then we had the Jean Darnell come along with The Witness. It's a musical. And we toured that all over South Wales with a choir from this area and also from the Rhondda. So fantastic. Yeah.
So it wasn't just about West Cross. It wasn't just about Swansea. It wasn't just about this church. It was about the bigger picture. We were part of something much bigger. I remember coming and early days when Barbara and I arrived, and John said to me, well, would you and Nigel like to go and lead worship in a day of renewal at Brecon? Well, I was a good brethren boy, and I didn't really understand what this was. So we took our guitar, my guitar, Nigel's whistle. We turned up. We were shown into a convent. Okay. We were asked to lead worship, and there were nuns, and it was like, what on earth is this? We led worship in Brecon Cathedral, in lots of different places. There were days of renewal when the Holy Spirit was moving, and it was fresh and new and different. We were plugged into that because part of the origins of Linden was it wasn't just about us. It wasn't just about us. What was interesting is early days, going back to these days, these people who started a Sunday school, they had a dream. And the dream was, well, maybe we need a building. And they started gathering a bit of money. And Richard told me, can you remember the sum of money off the top of your head?
£196.10.
£196.10. Can we pause at this point? And Megan, can you and Richard go and place a stone on our altar symbolically as you were significantly involved in these early days? Just, I know there were lots of others of us as well, but you two, can you go and put a stone there? But they represent people who had a vision for the longer term. This wasn't a 5-minute thing. They started, they had £196.10, and that was, well, a reasonable amount of money then. One, a vision for the longer term. Two, faith, because they were dipping into their pockets and none of them were well off. And a lack of a building wasn't going to stop them from doing stuff. They'd already started it. They were using Mayo School. They were using West Cross Community Centre. They used Baywood Hall. They were all over the place. They were doing open airs. They were out on the streets. We were travelling around different places. And this, a building is a blessing, but it's this, isn't it? The church existed way before this building existed. And if this was knocked down now, and it burnt down, I'm not suggesting it, but if this, there was... The church would continue to be, wouldn't it? Because this is just a building. Youth work was key. Now, let me talk to one of the young people. Sue. Tell us about being a young person at Linden in these days. Can you remember that far back? Ooh, she's the same to me. Don't worry.
Yeah, but you were a bit younger as well.
I was. But you were around, and Ali was around before me.
1979, I think I started coming.
What about you, Ali? Was it the same time?
No, I think it was 1977.
Oh, gosh, he predates you by 2 years. So what was it like being a young person at Linden?
I think there was just a sense of family, like now, and nobody had to be something else. Everybody could just be themselves, and we had a lot of fun, didn't we?
We had fun. It was the best youth group, and we had a fantastic social life, going to Youth of Christ and all sorts of things, seeing David Watson. We had the best fun. And John used to play football with us. The girls were on his team and we'd play the fellows.
14 was the maximum we managed to get in his estate car.
Okay, we better cut this from the video. 14 in the back of an estate car. Megan, you said to me something about freedom to be who we are. No, you didn't have to be anybody you weren't.
No, that's right. From all the rules and regulations that we had to abide by in the brethren, you know, it was just to be ourselves and to express God's love and whatever, you know.
Yeah, which is fantastic. So freedom, I think, is a key word in all of this. And youth, the youth people, young people in the church were part and parcel of church life. It wasn't a separate entity, but very involved. Do you want to, you two want to come and space and place some of those things down? And when Barbara and I arrived 43 years ago next month, we found what I describe as a generous space. It was generous. Do you know what I mean? There weren't people judging. There weren't people expecting. It was open, and it was, there was a freedom about. And these are important origins, aren't they? Because origins shape the development of something. And sometimes we need to go back, as Andy said, and get those stones and think, right, yeah, what about, yeah, that was important. And it's still important now. And the connections beyond ourselves, really, really significant. Long after this building was opened, through things like Mumbles Carnival, Victorian days, March for Jesus. Anybody remember March for Jesus? We were on the back of a lorry going through Mumbles. The police were driving in front of us. We were singing, waving flags, and there was somebody coming out of Chapel Street. Oh, no, it wasn't Chapel, Stanley Street. Somebody was coming, and a policeman went up to him and said, it was a guy in a car, stop. And this guy he took exception to it, and he was edging forward. We were on the back singing, waving to people, Jesus is Lord, yes, yes, yes. This guy's edging forward. The policeman gets off his bike, parks his bike, goes to the car, takes him out, puts his hands behind his back, marches him off. The story was reported in The Sun. It was only a short column, but it, you know, as a church, we've done, we've reached national. But let's track back. A building for the church and the community had been a dream for some time. But as the 70s passed and land was leased, we got this bit of land. It was amazing. And we've got a little video clip. I say video. This is a cine film transferred to video. There's no soundtrack. Some of you will have seen this before, but this is of John arriving with a spade and digging on this site. And I'll tell you, it's the only time he ever had a spade in his hand, Megan, isn't it? Because John was notoriously bad at gardening. But he, you know, this is a poetic license, and he's here. And there are some other films of some of the young people and some of the baptisms that were happening in and around Mumbles, down at South End, where there were big crowds of people. This is our origin. This is our forebears, and some of them are still here with us. And what a delight that is. So can we see that? And the site here. Now, they checked how much was in the bank. How much was in the bank? £6,000. That 196 had grown. £6,000. So they started building work. The first thing you do is put foundations down. They put foundations down. They dug huge trench here. They put the foundations in. Colin came up to have a look. He couldn't see over the top because he's a short man. They said, how much money we got now? Can we start building? They said, no, it's all gone. £6,000 on the foundations. We bought our first house for £6,800 in 19, whatever it was. But you could buy a house for that, and they're gone. So they had to start digging into their pockets again and praying. And what happened was community industry came along and they said, well, we'll provide a foreman. If you can provide the materials, we'll just go step by step by step. John said, well, there's a 5-year plan here. Let's buy the cement. Let's buy the blocks. Keep them going. Because if there were no blocks and no materials, they'd have left. So they carried on building and meeting down at the community center. And Hazel's dad turned up. Richard told me about this. Hazel's dad turned up and saw all that was happening, the people there. And he turned to John and he said, John, you can't wait years. These people need somewhere. So into a different gear. Richard project managed the building of this. We got a contractor in who came and finished it, but Richard was here, well, apart from sleeping a little, at work and here, and phenomenal that this building was put up. It was opened in 1983, 40 years ago today. But how amazing, not today, this year, but how amazing that no building and all that activity, no building and all those young people, all that freedom, that space to move in. And of course, we honor Megan and John and Colin and Pam and Richard and Hazel and others like that who were here at the very beginning and just kept walking forward in faith. But really, the story of Linden isn't just about them. It's about thousands of people who came and just put their hand to the tiller and said, yeah, I'll get involved. And John's two mantras, which I think are part of our being as well, are that one, people matter. And two, get involved. Get involved. And during those formative years, so many came and went. Sometimes people say, oh, well, they didn't. Not everybody stayed, no. But they came and played a part. And so many of those people are elsewhere in Swansea, in the country, elsewhere in the world. Megan's Christmas letters come in from around the world of people who have spent time here and you got to know. And David Gaze, who some of you will remember, David passed away in January this year, didn't he? And he had a letter from his son, Stephen. And David and his wife, Julie, spent 40 plus years in the Congo, as it was, wasn't it, in Africa. We had so many people. And the building was opened and there were weddings and there were lots of musicians and there were recordings. And I can remember Richard Pike sitting at a piano here. I've jumped forward a little bit. But Mary, we recorded a CD of Mary's songs. And there's a beautiful song called In the Stillness. And we sang it down here. Richard was upstairs in the control room. And you'd been working on it with Richard and Richard would play something like this. Mary was teaching him the song and then Richard said, okay, recording. Richard looked shocked. But that's the recording that worked. Fantastic. Richard was Mr. PA, Mr. Technical, Mr. Capable. And we went to Spring Harvest. It's a pity your mum and dad are not here. They'd have given us a cheer there. The Wales and Dales Bible Week. Greenbelt. We went far and wide because freedom. Freedom. Nobody was holding a gun to our head and telling us we had to go do something or be a certain way. It was freedom. And we met Dave Day from Bridge Ministries in Bristol in the 80s. And Dave came and spoke, and we built a relationship with Dave, which has lasted to now. He's 75 now. He's got two new knees, but he's the same Dave. And he was a bit of a mentor for some of us, and who looked after us. But it was all built on relationship. Lyndon isn't what it is today because of anybody bankrolling us or because of a denomination telling us this is the way to be or of any superstars. The closest we've got is John Sampson. And Megan, do you remember what you said to me about John when we talked about God doesn't always choose the best? She said, in many ways, I'm quoting Megan here, in many ways, John was the least qualified. He had no formal education and training, not vast experience in church planting, but he had a heart. And that remains very much core to who we are and what we're about. People with heart and with vision and who believe actually God can do anything. If we're faithful and we trust him and we stick together, then we'll look at what's happened more than 60 years later. Well, the 90s was a very busy time. Students. So Helen was a student and came and has never left. So I think you need to put a stone in place there, representative of students who came and stayed. And Helen was significant because we did a survey of this area, and Helen's social work training came in useful, and we developed and grew things around that. More of that in a minute. But how amazing that all of that happened. The 90s, let me give you a whistle-stop tour. We had impact teams. Some of the members here, Karen, come and put a stone down. You were an impact team person, as was Helen. We did street work. Karen still has a scar on her arm where a trick went wrong. It was a guillotine that was supposed to, you know, show it cutting through something, and then she put her arm through and it would have, you know, but it didn't work. She got scarred. It's true. We went on overseas trips, weekends away. We had Event 93. Chris, you were a part of Event 93. Come on, put a stone down. Event 93. We did all sorts of things. We went to schools. We had students. We hired a coach to take our students away down to West Wales. And Rich Pike's girlfriend turned up at my door late one night because he'd finished with her. Shocking. I wanted to throw him out of the church, but the others said no. Andrew and Carol were leading YPF. Andrew and Carol's front room was full on a Sunday night. And the stairs, for those who didn't hear that, and the stairs everywhere. Yours was like a youth center, wasn't it? 9 Osprey Close, open twice a week for young people. Come and put a stone there. We had NGM bands who came down. That's how Andy and Helen met. Andy came as a lighting engineer. He was a player. He was, It was all under the guise of serving God, looking for a woman. Put a stone down, Andy. You scored. Do you remember the Toronto blessing? Oh, my word. We were part of a thing called the Church Together in Swansea. Well, I think we peaked at 1,200 in Bishop Gore School Hall, which holds less, but we used the stage as well. We had teams from Toronto coming over. We were meeting 3 times a week. We met in the Branwyn Hall. We were very much a part of the church in the city. I was able to stop teaching, fortunately, And I was in the middle of all that. It was amazing. What a privilege in that sense. 97 was a painful year for us because a whole group of people decided they couldn't stick with what we were. And they left. And that was a difficult time. But I feel that as I look back on it, and perspective is a good thing, I believe that through dark times, God can actually shape something different. And I think he certainly brought us back to being a generous place and keeping that as a focus. In 2000, we bought the Osprey Guest House. Red Cafe was opened. Helen and Christina began working for us. They managed and developed a youth project. Jared was our youth worker. NGM teams came and went. The Matende link began. Josie went to Matende in 2004. There were 13 of us who went in 2005, and that link still carries on. We had a smorgasbord, do you like that word, of projects going on, sustainable development, DJ workshops, parents' cafes, fitness sessions, well-being, fair trade stuff, travelling teams across South Wales, community growing. We did Big Fish here, kids' work, schools' work, theatre productions, concerts. Whoa. It's exhausting to think about all the things that have happened over those years. But the one thing, as Fee mentioned, the one thing I feel so passionately is that it's the grace and faithfulness of God, which is part and parcel of who we are and why we're here. It's a great story. We look back and we celebrate moments when we think God was so with us then. In painful times, when Mike was ill, what a significant time. Mike and Jan had been on holiday. They'd been to Africa, to Kenya, wasn't it? And Mike had come back and he was really, really unwell in hospital. They couldn't find what it was. And we met here at midnight because we'd heard that Mike was in trouble and he was in hospital. I think he'd had a cardiac arrest. They were injecting adrenaline in the ambulance. And I can remember Jez here that night. And we walked around this building and we cried and we called out to God for him. It's not always about great, glorious things, is it? It's about painful, difficult things sometimes. But you share life. What a privilege it is. And what, as I look around, I see, well, we're some of those who are here now. We get to play a part in this. All this earthed in the life of a community of faith. All this, all through this, worshiping, learning together, praying, giving, and trying to live out what it means to follow Jesus. As I started with, the Linden story, I think, is one of extraordinary, ordinary people. Not top down. Nobody demanding. But grassroots, getting involved. What is this? How can this generous space continue? What does it look like now? What are the values? What is the DNA of Linden? And only we know that. Only we can discern that. So next week we want to explore that. What does it mean for us? Now, how is it being expressed now? And I think we'll find that most of all, most of what we do, you can track back to those early days, generous heart, people-centered, willing to trust God, willing to work hard, willing to do our bit, and believe that as we do that, God will do the rest. Amen.